rules anymore.
I don't watch enough basketball to
This guy just did a 360, moved all of his feet, planted, moved his feet again, and then the referees call a foul on New Mexico State. New Mexico State's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I'm still in St. Pete game here. But yeah, I did decide to hit record just for shits and giggles.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was going to tell you. Wait, I can't remember. Do you have Netflix or no?
Yes.
All right. Have you watched that new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie?
I have not.
Don't. It's awful. It's even as far as substandard. I had high hopes because the people who like produced it made some good movies.
Yeah.
This movie is so fucking stupid. Like it's Leatherface. So basically nothing else exists except for the first one and this one. So
oh, okay.
So he just disappeared after all that stuff. So of course, you know, long story short, he's found, right? Well, it's about these millennial kids who basically either bought or they have this idea to turn this ghost town, like 2.5 hours outside of Austin, Texas, into like a utopia for like young kids, blah, 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 right? So, like one girl's going to open up her pottery shop or some dumb shit. Now, I'm not joking, man. Like, they established there is nothing around this place for hours. So, right there, the feasibility of this thing is idiotic. And one girl, like, the smart girl even brings up, no one's here. Like, why would anyone come out here? There's nothing here. Somehow this ghost town still has power, still has plumbing. And I'm like, well, this isn't a ghost town.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, whatever. You know what? This is a movie about him just cutting people and torturing people, right? It's barely that. People are getting – I mean, one person gets gutted with a chainsaw and then comes back and shoots him with a shotgun. And I just went – and I had already had enough of this movie because you have, like, every ethnic background possible. One person, of course, is nerdy. Then there's like the conniving or like the straight businessman guy, and who's just relentless, but he's also a little off. And it was like every cliche possible. So of course they're in Texas, so they're making fun of the guy with guns,
no.
And he turns out to be a nice guy and helps them.
Yeah.
But then he has guns, and then one girl was in a school shooting, and I'm like, what are we watching? Like what? Amalgamation of after school specials are we fucking watching in this thing?
Yeah.
And it's not even satisfying when they die. Because they suck so much you know they're going to. And you know which one isn't. And they try to trick you at the end and it doesn't work. It was only 80 minutes, so it was fine. But
it did not overstay its welcome, that's for sure.
No, there's no plot, dude. So they show up. He's been hiding out in this ghost town with his mom.
That's a lot to take in 80 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to tell entirely too much backstory if that's all in there.
Oh, dude, I cut a bunch of it out. Yeah, I mean, it's not even filmed nice. It's just boring. And then he starts cutting people up. Now, he does murder an entire bus of people, which was kind of fun. But after a while, I'm like, no one could just open the door? Like, and I know it's a horror movie, so you're not supposed to think this way. But they try to establish how smart everything is, and it's just not. So, I don't know. I had higher hopes, because have you ever seen Don't Breathe?
I have not.
Very good. It's not what you expect either. But it's a very good movie. And it was by, like, I don't think it was a director, but I think it was a producer of that. So I had high hopes, and just no. No. Because I know Melissa doesn't like violence and stuff, so she would never watch these, but...
Yeah, well, and she is not a horror movie person. And like, I guess I never really... I don't really have a problem with them, per se, but I never really got into them either. You know?
I like old ones, because they're just kind of goofy. But, like, new ones, whatever. It's the same bullshit, same jump scare stuff. And I tend more to go for the creepy, which I don't know if you've ever. Yeah, I doubt Melissa would never watch this, and I would say don't let her. It's a movie called Hereditary.
Oh yeah. I might have heard a review on that at some point.
It's awesome. It's creepy as hell until the end. The very end is just stupid, but. There are some visuals in this movie that are utterly disturbing. And it's, again, another movie where you think it's one thing and it's not. So, I think that's why I enjoyed it. But, yeah, there was some really awful stuff in the movie. So, but that's what that guy does. So.
We still haven't caught that many movies. I mean, we literally, like, I guess it's not going to be literal, because it is maybe about 6 weeks ago or something that we finally did the home movie and watched the new James Bond.
Oh, the one where he dies at the end?
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know, hey, if you're going to go with a new era, sure, kill him off. I don't care. Like, I know that it's popping back up, so.
Yeah, well, the thing with that is they started with him being, like, at the beginning, and then he just got older and things happened. It wasn't like the book series or, like, the old movies. So this seemingly had, like, a beginning and end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was, like, a different take on James Bond, which I think is absolutely fine. So...
Because I was still one of those guys that I was ready for Pierce Brosnan to be James Bond, and then I was like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, the best thing that came out of his era of James Bond was the video game.
Yeah, actually, yes.
GoldenEye, still remember playing entirely too many hours of it. Like, one of the few games that... It's probably not even considered modern at this point, but that's, like, the most recent game I've probably played a lot of.
Yeah.
Not counting mobile games, I suppose.
The pickings are few and far between for new games right now, so... Plus, it's so nice out now, I want to get outside as much as I can. It was 72 degrees here today, so...
We had a pretty nice day here, too. I took a walk at lunch, that was nice. So, I'm trying to think of what other movies, we've been watching a lot of TV stuff, because that's it, I mean, we're nearly caught up on Letterkenny, which I find quite amusing. What else? Oh, man, I'm almost bummed, you know, it was one of those ones, I remember Idiot Intern back in the day, being so mad about how Avatar, The Last Airbender was, the movie.
Oh, that movie. Holy shit, dude.
I
couldn't believe that.
I am 3 episodes from completing the cartoon series, and I can understand if someone... And I guess I did... That was another one where I heard a podcast review of it, and I guess in general they said that they tried to fit... all 3 seasons of that show into, like, a 2.5-hour movie. I'm like, yeah, you can't do that. Like, that's, like, 3 24-episode seasons at least a half an hour a clip with, like, a couple of 1-hour specials. And it's just like, it's just bound to be terrible.
That's also, like, that was M. Night Shyamalan, too.
Yeah.
During his period where he was just making trash movies.
Yeah.
So like that movie was doomed the second they said he was doing it, because he was in a bad rut. So yeah, it wasn't until, what's the one with the person that multiple personalities or something? And whatever, his little superhero universe thing. But yeah, just,
oh yeah.
Yeah, but that Last Samurai, I don't think I even got through it. I think I shut it off. That was okay, so Elise actually brought this up. So the days of Netflix DVDs, those are still around, right? Because I used to, that's how, you know, everyone did it, so.
Oh, see, yeah, because we didn't really get Netflix until the last couple of years, maybe?
Yeah.
So I didn't do any DVDs, but is that how that Last Airbender was distributed? Because I thought it just came out in the theater.
Oh,
or
no, that's
just
how I saw it was on DVD, because I was like, there's no chance I'm seeing this in the theater. So, no. I'm very, like, the last movie I saw was The Batman, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I warned Ken about that. Because I know that that Melissa didn't want to see it, so I was just like, "Hey, some weekend we should roll out to see this." And he was up for it, and I just haven't—I still haven't found a good Sunday morning to go watch that thing in a nearly empty theater.
It's good, dude. It's real good.
Because
apparently it's going to be on HBO Max on April 23rd, which I think that's absurd.
But wow.
Yeah, it just feels like they're cutting money out. Because those Nolan ones were in theaters forever. And it wasn't that long ago. So.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was interested in that. What was the other one? I still haven't seen the, is it No Way Home from Spider-Man?
That's very good, too.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things, but it's just one of those ones that yeah. Just did not seem to find the time to, because that came out around the holidays, didn't it?
Yeah, because my dad and I went at Christmas time and saw that.
Okay, that
was a rare one for Spider-Man that came out around Christmas. Those were usually in the summer, if I remember right.
Yeah, just with the travel that I normally do for the holiday, movies that come out around that time are always a little bit of a tough sell. For me.
What, Christmas movies?
Not the theme, but just because we're traveling a lot, it's tough to get into the theater sometimes. Especially, like, I'm not going to do it during the week, so there's 5 days off the list, and then when you travel, like, two of the weekends in December, especially the 2 weeks around Christmas itself, and that's the timing of when the movie comes out, it's like, it's easy to kind of get it, for it to get passed over. And it's not like I am never taking my dad to a Batman movie. That shit would be hilarious.
Yeah, well, I took my dad was there. He was in town, so yeah, we went together. So he liked it. I mean, but it's, you know, with his age and then, well, not so much his age, only 72, but with like his Meniere's disease and that, he can get wiped out pretty quick. And oh. I was afraid that was a 3-hour movie, but he made it through the whole way. And I even, like, at one point, I looked over to make sure he wasn't sleeping. He was wide awake, so.
Oh,
okay.
I could definitely see Ron 100% asleep about 15 minutes into any movie that we went to.
Yeah, it's probably something for off there, but. Well, no, it's just like, ever since his heart attack and then this Meniere's disease, he's lost a shit ton of weight. I mean, frail weight. So, yeah, it's for off air. Never mind.
Gotcha.
So it's a concern, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, okay, you got to eat more. All right, I eat my bowl of Cheerios, or I'll have a bagel for lunch for breakfast, and then I'll have a ham sandwich, and then something else, and I'm like, I eat 5 times a day, and it's not that. Like, there's no way to put weight back on eating Cheerios and a ham sandwich. There's not. Unless a ham sandwich is like one of those
unless you go Dagwood on it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. Yeah, unless it's one of those. But he can't eat stuff with salt in it, and you don't realize how much stuff Salt is in.
Aside from everything, like even the low sodium versions of stuff, it's just like, nah, it's still kind of salty. It's just like
low sodium is probably what like a high salt intake should be.
You know what I mean?
It's like, oh, low sodium. How about normal? How about you call that normal sodium instead of the other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, someone
who eats potato chips like, well, you used to. You used to eat potato chips like mad, you know?
Yeah, that'd be rough. If I, just any of the regular chips are, it's just kind of rough. Like, plain chips are, like a plain Lay's. I'm like, what is this stuff? It just really does not taste good anymore. Like, I guess I still like Pringles every now and again, but Pringles aren't something that I really buy frequently either.
Well, it's just like everything else now. To cut costs or like, you know, to keep prices the same, that was the excuse.
Oh.
They put less in stuff but kept it the same price.
Yeah.
And I went, you're paying more for what you're getting.
Yeah, it's the Jimmy Dean sausage situation.
Oh my, it really is. Yeah, it really is. My husky wife, or she's the big woman.
She, plump.
That was it, plump. Which, what a horrible way to describe it. Describing somebody, because you know it's backhanded. There's no way to call someone plump without insinuating they are overweight.
Terminology is a funny thing. Like, I mean, it cracks me up. It's like, oh, we'll change the spelling of thick, and that makes it okay.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, like, thick made sense for a while. Now with fat women just taking it and saying I'm thick, like, no, you're not. Please stop doing that. Like, a thick woman is proportionally correct. You fat bitches who are just like, oh, I'm thick. No, you're not. No. Just cut it out. You can feel good about yourself. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's not what you are. Like, enough. You know me, I have a real problem with language stuff like that, so...
Oh, yeah, well, that's one that just kind of cracks me up. It's just like, it's... But just because it's so out there, you know what I mean? It's just like... Okay, guys, sure.
Yeah. Well, dude, I was watching...
if that makes you feel better, have at it.
Yeah, well, I'm watching these tournament games, right? And they were showing a commercial for... I don't know what it was. That's part of it. So then I heard. Then they said there are blah 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 athletes who are intellectually disabled. And I went, what? And I turned around, and it was a kid with Down syndrome. And like, come root our athletes on for the Special Olympics. And I go, that is so fucking dishonest. Yes, yes, he is intellectually disabled. I get it. He has Down syndrome. That's why. Like, call it what it is. Not this pampered bullshit. I hate that stuff. I don't know. Maybe I'm in a mood. It just drove me crazy today. I was like, that poor kid has Down syndrome. Let's just get that out of the way. Stop saying he's intellectually disabled. That actually sounds a lot worse than saying he has Down syndrome.
Yikes. I mean, it kind of helps specify what the problem is actually say what the... because they're just... many different options in that department.
Yes. And I mean, also, the Special Olympics seems like a bunch of bullshit, by the way. Bear with me. So, you've got a kid who has Down syndrome, all right? And having grown up with kids that had it, that's how I know this stuff. There are obviously different degrees of it. Some grow up to be Victoria's Secret models. Most don't. So maybe it's gotten better over the last, I'm 48, 48 years, but Down syndrome's pretty rough. So having a Down syndrome kid run a 100-meter dash against a guy who's legally blind is fucking bullshit. That's not an exaggeration. You can have somebody who is of perfectly good health, good capabilities, whatever else, but they can't see that great, and that's how they're in the Special Olympics. Not blind. They just have a problem with, like, light shades and stuff. That seems wrong to me.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not bashing on the athletes either. I'm actually calling them athletes with no sarcasm. Because believe me, that half-blind guy would torch me in a race. No matter how long it is. I'm not arrogant enough to go, oh, pff, whatever. So.
Yeah. I half zoned out for part of that because I got an alert that said, welcome to the WWE's new NXT signing class. And I'm like, huh? People are willing to take a job with them still?
Anybody will do anything. I mean, Rock C's in there. Officially.
Well, and so. I was laughing that Santino Marella's daughter... Her name is my grandmother's maiden name, Corelli.
Oh, nice.
So,
well, she's supposedly, she used to be, or she is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, or trained. She's a little badass like Santino is.
Yeah, judo, jiu-jitsu, and boxing.
Yeah. So, and then, I know Santino wasn't, you know, he wasn't a main eventer. The guy was really good. Entertaining as hell, too.
Yeah. I mean, that guy had probably a longer career than most.
Yeah. Honestly. The fact that he was like a shoe fighter or some goofy shit in OVW, and then he gets called up and he's like an Italian fan that beats William Regal for the, was it European or the Intercontinental title?
I think it's Intercontinental.
So... Yeah, but you forget how great Santino was. So when he said his daughter is coming in, I'm like, wait, how old are you? Or did you get an early start? That surprised me. He had a daughter.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I knew he had kids at some juncture.
Yeah. Well, that'd be like Triple H or Stephanie's kids all of a sudden going, oh, I'm at the PC. I'm like, whoa, 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 what? I mean, I know it's weird to see, like, my own nephews grow up. My one nephew is 13 this year. And it's like, wait, what? My brother's not that old. And I was like, oh, yeah, he is, because you're older than he is.
So, yeah, I'm used to that part. Although yeah. I'm still not used to it.
Yes. Well, the black sheep of the family is, so... No kids, second spin around, hell yeah. We got better stories than they do, so I don't care.
We definitely have stories, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of stories, I guess we should talk wrestling, but
I suppose we could get to that.
I don't know, like NXT was okay. I don't know what that show is anymore with Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, The Miz, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, and then some people they're still shoving down our throat. And then, oh yeah, here's some North American ladder match stuff. Like, what?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I didn't go back to watch the first half hour of the show. But I guess they just had the qualifying matches there.
Yeah, so...
Because I saw that Cameron lost. Yeah, I did see that. He's another guy that, honestly, I would not be offended if he got pulled up to the main roster after WrestleMania.
There's a couple people down there, and I read somebody like on a Reddit thread going, is there going to be a mass call-up after WrestleMania? And I actually wondered the same thing. Either mass call-up, or that's when they start letting people go. Because Raquel Gonzalez is wasted down there.
Is she legit injured, though?
I don't think so. I guess it's a way to not have her on and diminish her even more. And just say she's hurt.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
So. Well, yeah. That's a weird way to phase her out, I suppose.
Yeah, I like, but it's like her.
Well, and what's his name? You were talking about mass call-ups. I mean, it'd be hard to not get around Tommaso Ciampa essentially doing a retirement speech.
Well, either retirement, or he's been wrestling on a main event, too. So maybe he changed his mind and is going to get called up. I don't know.
So, do you want a job or do you not want a job? You guys are paying me enough. I may as well stick around.
Yeah.
He has a ceiling, but if, you know, yeah, you can stick around the main roster without being a main eventer for, I mean, Dolph Ziggler's a perfect example. God. That guy feels like he's been around for 20 years.
I know he was the Intercontinental champion, but he's been on that roster forever and never, I mean, outside that WrestleMania thing, he hasn't sniffed anything substantial.
Oh,
you can meander around the main roster as long as you're happy with your role, you know.
Yeah.
Your money. So.
Yeah, Nakamura just wants to surf and bring in the cash.
Yeah,
and he gets that accomplished quite well.
Yeah, seemingly, and then like there's plenty of guys, so I don't want to go over it. But the NXT show, yeah, like, and then. Who's the Goomba? Shit, I forgot his name.
Oh, Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah, thank you. I kind of want to say Tony Gonzalez. I'm like, that's not his name.
If it actually posted, as I said with Chris, he's going to make Tommaso Ciampa sleep with the fishes.
Yep.
Hey.
So, anyways.
May as well Goomba it up.
I just... The cringe. It's just, that's been a while, dude. That cringe hit hard. That was awful. I even knew what you were going for, and I didn't care. Like, no. So, yeah, so I was looking forward to that. I was like, oh, maybe they're going to do something cool with Tony D'Angelo. Nope. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, the legit wrestler guy, turn him into, like, ugh.
Well, this could be, at least for him, he's kind of had a little bit of, he's been one of those new guys that Carmelo Hayes has won a lot, and Bron Breakker has won a lot. But outside of that, like, Grayson Waller's been up and down a little bit, D'Angelo's been up and down. Yeah, if he finishes off Ciampa, you know, on NXT, it's good for him, you know. And they have let him wrestle a little bit more recently. Even if they have given him, honestly, quite a few weapons matches, considering he's only been around for like 4 months or whatever. Well, I guess if they were around for Halloween Havoc, I suppose it's been 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think that it'll benefit him in the long run to get that type of a win, even if it's pretty obvious that's what's happening.
Yeah. No, I'd be curious if Ciampa wins, but it's like, okay. And I guess they did say that it was going to be in Dallas, so I think we went over that last week, but there wasn't affirmation from them, so. But, like, they better get a move on with this ladder match stuff, because even Cameron Grimes, after losing, said, you know, I'm going to find a way in this match. So unless that's the story is, you know, he's going to work his way in and win, you know, finally win the big one, because he really doesn't win that often anymore. Ever since he had that new, like, he finally beat LA Knight, it's been downhill ever since. I guess it was the Duke Hudson thing. I forgot about that.
One of
the rare things where the old guard beat the new guard.
Fortunately for the new guard, losing to the old guard worked out.
Yeah, it's and now it actually makes sense why Carmelo Hayes beat Pete Dunne with no fanfare.
Oh,
because apparently that was a murder. So, Because that guy is a DOA, so.
What, you don't like Butch?
Dude. It's not so much the name, which is terrible. It's the way they have him dressing. I know he's supposed to fit in with Sheamus and that. Sheamus is still a look I'm trying to get used to as well. And then greased up muscle head. who's the other guy? Who damn near killed Big E? Ridge Holland.
Ridge, yeah.
You know, why? It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's an overall WWE problem, but it doesn't make any sense. Sheamus, I've met Sheamus in person on the subway. He don't dress like that. No one dresses like that. No one here. This Peaky Blinders bullshit works. Oh, on the show Peaky Blinders, which takes place in, like, I don't even know, 1700s, 1800s? I don't know. I forgot.
I'm not up for the Charles Dickens look, but for some reason they think it's good.
It's so dumb. I'm waiting for him to carry around a newspaper that has a lead pipe in it. You know? So he's a newsie. He's like, here's some news for you. And smack somebody over the head with it.
I've got some bad news for you.
Yeah.
Barrett just Barrett sitting there.
Complain that his
what the fuck? Which is
true. Yeah, dude. It's whatever. I saw that. And I was like, why do they keep calling him Butch? I didn't see SmackDown. I saw, like, either Reddit or Twitter or something like that. And I just went, oh, God. I was confused why Pete Dunne signed a new contract with WWE in the beginning. He's a small, skinnier guy. Yeah, he's shredded. He's still skinny. He doesn't fit anywhere. And this was around when people were leaving, too, that he re-signed.
He wasn't quite. It was somewhere in the middle of the pandemic, I feel like, that he re-signed.
See, I thought it was later.
Because there were definitely a decent chunk of releases by the time he re-signed.
Yeah. I guess, you know, money, and maybe he's good with his spot, or maybe he thinks he can overcome this stuff. But with their push,
well,
pushing on certain people, and the way they do stuff, do you honestly see, like, I guess maybe with Sami Zayn, but even Sami Zayn, he's tall. We met him. He's a tall dude.
Pete Dunne, he's not the shortest guy. I mean, he's taller than Adam Cole, for God's sakes.
Well,
but I'm with you. He's still not very tall. You know, he's not tall enough to have a huge impact on the main roster, I don't think. Like, as much as I love his wrestling style and think he's great at it, I don't see a lot there, and I guess he would have worked in AEW. Like, that's one of those ones where, I mean, they could have brought him in, but they were starting to get filled up at that point. You know, even when he could have left, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, AEW to me now is just plumb full. Like, I know there's other people still out there. They can't sign anybody. I don't really have much more else to say about NXT, to be honest.
Well, I mean, yeah, Swerve got signed mainly because he kind of fills a hole that AEW has.
Yeah. And he's awesome too, which helps.
Well, yeah, that in no way hurts. Like, that was one where I'm like, when he got released, I'm like, really? You don't see the money in this guy? Like, I'm confused, man.
Yeah, that whole gimmick to me was awesome. Now listen, it's not my music. Like, I'm not real up with the new hip hop.
Oh,
like the new genre, whatever. I don't know. It was called what? Not Mushmouth. Whatever. I can't remember the name of it. But so it wasn't my thing. But it was totally different. And they just screwed it. And anyways. Shane Strickland's been awesome forever, or Swerve, whatever. I'll never forget that Evolve show. Shahid had to tell me he was kill shot in Lucha Libre and Lucha Underground. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. But, you know, like, Montez Ford did that whole thing in NXT where he jumped over the top rope and landed on the guardrail or whatever.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not the guardrail, but, like, the ramp. Well, that's impressive. And then you see Shane Strickland do it right in front of you onto a basically a gym floor or a concrete floor. And I talk about it all the time. I lost my mind. I've never seen anything like it.
As you should have.
Yeah. And that was the one match. It was him versus A.R. Fox. And afterwards, they both came by us and thanked us. Because I was losing my fucking mind. That match was great. And I can't remember what Evolve event it was, because I wanted to watch it again just to see like what I was doing. But anyways. But yeah, so him being signed by AEW made me very happy. And they should do big things with him. Because besides Keith Lee and... I guess Scorpio Sky now.
No.
The complaint with AEW has been that they haven't had a substantial, like, diverse people on top, which it's arguable, whatever. So you've got Keith Lee and you've got Swerve as your African-American people. Thunder Rosa is from Mexico, so it's hard to, you know, hard to argue that one.
Yeah.
So if it matters, or if I forgot Jay Cardill, but I was speaking, I guess, men in this case. But if they're
and she's still a relative, like, she's still relatively new. You know, if you were making that argument, she's what, the TBS Championship,
yeah,
era is really where she's taken off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they've started to include her in, like, promotional materials and stuff, but...
Look, it helps that she's... To me, she's definitely improved in the ring.
Well, one, they need to keep those damn matches short. But two, she is also, like, a marvel. Like, there is no woman's wrestler... And I know, like, the big thing right now is people are trying to get, like, the Forbidden Door open so that her and Camille Brickhouse could have a match. Which, by the way... No. Just because they're both tall, ridiculously ripped women, no. Camille's not that good, and she's not that good either. Not to go into a match with two green people, though.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, but,
yeah, I have not seen this Camille Brickhouse.
You've seen her before, but it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
So, she's just not ready either, and... She's like the NWA Women's Champion right now because, you know, they're pulled up shop. Because I was thinking about this the other day. The NWA got totally ripped when the pandemic hit. They had a ton of people that are now in AEW and WWE or NXT. Or now Impact as well. So, damn. It's no wonder that they don't get the publicity they used to, because the people that are there are no longer there. So,
yeah, that's a little bit of a problem. When you lose, like, 3/4 of your roster, it sounds like.
Yeah, so, but no, so, but it like, there's an appropriate time for AEW to, like, finally push, like, their first black male wrestler.
Yeah, like, I mean,
go far.
Yeah,
I know I left Powerhouse Hobbs out of it. He's still too new. You can see, like, in his matches. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying he's not ready for that spotlight.
Oh,
in ring, he's not. His look, of course. Of course,
there's a reason. To me, it's one of those ones where I'm like, he has been way backseat to Ricky Starks.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just like, you kind of, to me, it's just like Tony Khan is just like, yeah, this is going to be a minute before he's that guy.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I think he's relatively young, too. So, but he was talking about, I was reading or listening to an interview with him, and he's got kids. He's got like 2 kids already. Damn. What are you guys doing?
Not the sensible thing.
I always sound like a
Oh
dick
my
in this stuff.
God.
I always sound like a dick in this stuff, but, and of course, you know, my wife was one of these people, but one, my pull-out game is strong. Two, you know what you're doing. I mean, there's ways of not. And I know they always say, well, you know, the pre-cum, that's where all the good stuff is. And I was like, whatever. I don't know. It's always confused me. And I was like, just whatever. It's an odd conversation, so whatever. So all I know
yes.
is my pull-out game is
yeah, there are many ways of prevention without having to resort to that damn condom.
Which I never used anyways.
If that's part of your issue.
Yeah, there's definitely other stuff. But it's, I don't get it. Like, I can't say that there hasn't been those times where I'm like, I don't care. Because there have been plenty of times. And then, you know, you just hope and pray. But, like, I just don't get it. I hate these arguments that, like, you know, condoms should be available to everybody. Yeah, sure, okay. Then I want to know, like, do I get some reparations for having to go to the corner drugstore and literally the Indian guy behind the counter when I asked for my Lifestyles or Trojans, whatever it was in high school when I used to use those things, that he was like, oh, someone's getting lucky tonight. And I'm like, yeah. And that, but now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, you should be like, yeah, fuck, of course I am. Like, have fun slinging cigarettes, asshole. Stupid way to handle it. Anyways, so back to AEW.
yeah, and power, somehow that came off of talking about Powerhouse Hobbs.
Because he seems so young, and he's got two kids already.
Oh, like, yeah, that's what it was.
Fuck down. Anyways, but yeah. So there's a legitimate shot there. Like, Keith Lee, Swerve. I mean, if you want to throw Hobbs in, cool. The ones in... And it wasn't me, because Elise said something yesterday with the Hardys taking on Private Party. She goes, oh, I remember these guys.
Oh.
And I went, yeah. And she goes, oh, wait, are they the ones that have the solo cups? And I was like, no, that's the Street Profits. Oh. Oh, these are the guys that used to, like, do the party thing? And I'm like, yes. Because they dropped the ball on them so badly.
That one's been brutal. Like, I do feel like Mark Wenz had a few injuries that maybe have slowed yes. things down, but also dropped ball mostly.
It almost seemed like almost WWE logic, where we have one of something, so we don't need something else. Because in my timeline may be off, but I don't think it is. His Private Party was around, and then Top Flight came in.
Yeah, Top Flight did come in like a month later or something
like
that.
Yeah, and it just seemed like they were like, okay, we don't know which one of these teams to push or do something with. And then injuries hit both of them. So, you know, yeah, it was just very strange. And it just seemed like stymie the momentum of Private Party.
Yeah, and I guess I knew this week there was no chance in hell they were beating Matt and Jeff.
Of course not, and we need to talk about this. We need to have an honest conversation about this. Matt Hardy is not in good shape. And what I mean is, he can barely move. He's gotten pudgier again, which maybe he's trying to bulk up, or maybe all of the damage he's done to himself is catching up, because he's not young.
Oh.
We've all seen what he's gone through.
No, I occasionally forget that they are almost our age.
Yes. They're younger than we are, I think.
Yeah, and, but they're both in their 40s, though.
Yeah, and they move worse than we do.
Well, it's because we didn't put ourselves through... I mean, I did a number of dumb things in my youth that were probably not the best for my body.
Oh yeah, of course, but not like them. No, of course.
But also, yeah, not to that level. Like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but also the other factors in their lives too didn't help.
Yes, I have also not been an alcoholic and or chronic drug user.
Yeah, hard drug user, of course. So, but I was watching it last night going, oh my God. And then Matt's losing his hair, which that was a surprise to me.
Oh, he's been hiding that for a long time.
Well, he needs to keep hiding it. And I know that sounds mean. I don't have hair. Make a choice. So.
Oh, yeah. But, like, you could see it through that green. I think that's why he has kept it tied back a lot, is because it keeps the hair more bunched up and it hides the knot hair in there.
Yeah.
So.
So we've got Matt doing his stuff slowly, kind of choppy, and then you got Jeff who, he's just kind of doing, like, huh? He's like stopping in the middle of the match, like trying to get the crowd to clap, and I'm like, just do your shit. It seemed like they were just on a house show. They're like, yeah, I'll just do whatever we want. Don't worry about it. The camera's on.
Well, it didn't matter. I mean, from that crowd reaction.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, of course not. But it's like, even the crowd knew, and they weren't buying into anything. They're like, Private Party's not winning. Can we just get to the fun stuff at the end?
Yeah, like, I was shocked at even the tag finally to Jeff got as big of a pop as it did. Just because you could tell everyone was waiting for it, and it's just like, oh, really? Like, you're still going for it? And were we talking about it last week about how Jeff is slowed down too? Him dropping on Isaiah Cassidy like a sack of potatoes killed me.
He did the sting. That's what that's called, the sting. You didn't really do anything, you just fell off the ropes. Like, and don't believe me, you never responded, but it was nice to see Darby Allin at least make a little bit of effort to get to the ring, where Sting's like, and I was actually the whole time going, doop, 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 and then they go away, he gets up, I was like, doop, 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 hang on, he's trying to get on the, I'm like, oh my God. Please stop with this.
Well,
please stop.
I kind of hate those moments too, where the bad guys just bailed out so easily too. Like, they didn't try to get in extra shots, or it's just like, you guys have two people down and you're leaving just because two people have foreign objects. There's like 12 of you in two of them. Like, why are you running away? I don't care if one has a bat and one has a skateboard. The one guy's like a buck 15 soaking wet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to disagree with you. I'd be way more scared of Darby Allin because I've seen the way that guy just throws himself at people.
Oh,
he has a better chance of taking you out than Sting, who's like, oh, hang on, let me get on the ring apron. Like, no, knock him right off. He didn't do anything. And then gets in the ring and just walks around. Like, you ain't doing anything. Oh, no. Kentucky's about to lose.
Yeah, Sting's. Sting is really terrible.
Okay, maybe not.
I just. Yeah, it's close here. But, yeah, Sting is on that list of old guys that AEW should not re-sign, but they probably will for whatever reason. Because they have him involved in angles like he's going to do something or like he's a real threat. And it's just like, stop this nonsense, guys. Like, you know, God bless him for jumping off the thing, off the arena onto the table. But like you said, like, he basically just fell.
Yes.
Like, he didn't do anything. It was the safest of bumps. But it's, I mean, again, yeah. Like, he's like 75, so he shouldn't really be taking that bump anyway. But God bless for, you know, the mid-60-year-old to be doing something like that.
Remember the RKO out of nowhere stuff, and they would always insert like Randy Orton doing an RKO to somebody falling. Like, how is there not a Sting one? That'd be hilarious by now. So that stuff, I just felt bad watching that match. Like, and then they're going to try and get in there with the Young Bucks, and it's like, oh, no. No, let's not do this.
Well, they might actually make the Young Bucks have a tag team match instead of a, you know, a, what's the Mexican style match called?
Lucha.
No, where there's no tags.
Oh, tornado tag, right?
Tornado tag match. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was looking for. So, yeah. But other than that, yeah, it's not going to be a good match. I don't really need to see the Hardys versus FTR. You know, it's just like anyone else. Like, you know, they're just getting older, and like we both said, like, they've just done so much to their bodies. They're just kind of shot, you know? Matt is still worse off than Jeff is.
Yeah. Well, Matt was also the guy that said, like, his hip bone was fusing with his pelvis or something. You know?
The Kentucky kid crying.
Well, I need to check my bracket because I think mine just got totally ruined.
Oh, yeah, mine did. I'm 99% sure mine just...
I used Venmo money. Like, they gave me $15 credit, so I joined our gym one. I don't watch basketball. I don't know anything. So I'll spend somebody else's money, no problem. But John Calipari's not a good coach. I don't know why people haven't figured this out. He did his best work when he was able to cheat like crazy, get all these great players. And I think he's only won one title, right? So now that he's had to pare back, it's not going so well.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do not pay enough attention to any basketball but it doesn't seem like Kentucky's really done so hot. But did he win a championship at Kentucky, or was that...
That was Kentucky.
Okay. Because yeah. I was just thinking to myself, that I was like, were his best years at UMass, and that was like 30 years ago at this point, probably?
Yeah. I'm actually texting my friend Brendan because his girlfriend is a gigantic Kentucky fan.
Yeah, I don't care about my bracket being blown up. I'm going to assume it's blowing up nearly everyone's bracket. There's going to be that one person on the ESPN's going to come out with a thing tomorrow. There are still 1,500 brackets that are perfect after that Kentucky upset.
I wonder how many computer-generated ones there are like that, so...
Yeah, that is a reasonable question to ask. To just put permutations in there of every possibility and keep on submitting brackets.
Wow. But yeah, so anyways, yeah, so AEW, going back to AEW, what a shocker. I mean, that's crazy, but... I think the only time that ever didn't happen was when Virginia lost in the first round when they were number one.
Yeah, I mean, that's still wild that, yeah, the first one seed in our lifetimes to have lost.
And that was here in Charlotte, which was just crazy because there were a ton of Virginia people here.
Not that I'm ever taking a 16 seed, but it's just like, eh. The seed of doubt is in there, at least, at this point.
Yeah. But, so, I think my big problem with AEW this week is it was everything on the show was predictable. Not saying it was bad. But, of course, MJF costed Wardlow the championship. Of course, Thunder Rosa won in her hometown. Of course, the Hardys beat Private Party. I guess it started off with the surprise of Adam Cole pinning Jungle Boy. Because I always thought Luchasaurus was the guy that would be taking pins, not Jungle Boy, especially not Adam Page.
Yeah, it was a little shocking to see Jungle Boy get pinned because, I mean, yeah, he's one of those guys that has definitely been protected in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, for real. And so that was a surprise to me. I hated the triple moonsault thing off the corner. I hate those contrived spots where everyone has to wander around and look up and go, are they gonna
Oh.
jump off eventually? Like, everyone's making a
Yeah.
big deal out of it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Lucha House Party did that in WWE at one time,
Like
if I
5 years
remember.
ago.
Yeah, so it's not the first time we've seen it, so.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen kind of variations of it over the years here, so it's hard to get too wound up about it. Like, it's impressive, and I obviously can't do that personally, but I don't care either. I don't care to try that. Not necessary. Oh, I did love. It kills me. Thunder Rosa having the mariachi band out there and then following that up with whatever death metal she has as her entrance music killed me. Killed me. Because I meant to, and maybe I'll do that right now. I meant to look up who does her music. Because I'd be pretty pumped if I'm trying to think of what the band is from San Antonio that I like. And it's not Oh, it just says artist, All Elite Wrestling. Huh. Oh, who's the band then?
Off their AEW soundtrack thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that was my big problem with the show last night.
Oh, I would. Oh, no, not
My
them.
favorite part of the show was Jericho, the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Oh my
It was so bad, and you know it was done on purpose. And then rename it 2.0 with different names, which I'll never remember their name. Was it Jeff
No.
Farmer and Matt? Like, what were the original names? Shit.
Oh, I don't know.
Matt Parker, Jeff Farmer? Oh, fuck, whatever.
Yeah.
I already forgot, but.
Making them sound more snooty was, that's one of those
Oh.
ones where I'm like, okay, like, I, in general, obviously we were already complaining about Butch, but sometimes you can come up with something creative, and them trying to do, like, I guess it was a fun part of wrestling, back in the day when there were two brands. That they poke fun at each other. Like, it's just such a wrestling thing to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to find their names, and it's funny when you put in 2.0 new names, you get nothing but NXT. AEW in my search. Oh, Matt Menard and Angelo Parker going forward, but it was like, which I believe is actually their real names.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I was hoping that Thunder Rosa's music was by Upon a Burning Body, if you happen to be interested. And I'm sure that no one wants to listen to that that's
All right.
actually listening here, but they are a very good metal band from San Antonio.
Okay. Oh, let's see. So, oh, it's Big Magic Matt Lee becoming Daddy Magic Matt Menard and Jeff Parker, Cool Hand Ange, Angelo Parker. It's fucking awful. It's awful names, which is the point. point.
Yes. When you're making something intentionally bad, it's way different than turning Pete Dunne into Butch. Like, you're going, yeah, Butch is a great name. Like, it goes in with the group, and everyone's like, fuck no, it doesn't. That's fucking stupid.
Ridge, Butch, and Sheamus. Like, and I like how, like, Sheamus is like, well, you know, him by another name. We know him by his nickname, Butch. And I'm like, oh, God. And,
where are you going, Butch?
And that's the thing. Butch and Spike, like... The thing is, in the dynamic of what they're going for, Butch is Sheamus. Spike is the little dog tagging along with the big dog. So they got that wrong. It's like, get your references correct, first off. But whatever. Anyways, AEW. but it's just... So, like, the show is predictable. The Jericho Appreciation Society, a little too long, but I did enjoy it quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Jericho's still good. He figured out another way to come up with a new gimmick. He looks great, too.
Yeah, well, it helps that he stopped being an alcoholic.
I was wondering, and Elise asked me the same thing, if she goes, do you think that Jon Moxley stuff had anything to do with it? And I said, I think so.
Well, and I feel like I heard something about a health scare for him, and I'm like,
yes.
And I'm just like, I haven't paid enough attention to Jericho to know one way or the other what's going on.
Yeah. He was sick overseas, and it wasn't COVID.
Oh.
And he was supposed to be touring with Fozzy. Well, he was able to get out of the hospital and go sing. So it wasn't like a throat or... you know, anything like that.
Gotcha.
But then he kind of disappeared for a while. And then when he came back, he was noticeably thinner.
Yeah.
And now he is noticeably thinner.
Yeah, because at that point, when I stopped listening to him, when I realized that he was fucking completely off his rocker.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, okay, this has gone from entertaining to you're a psychopath. I went, okay, I'm checking out. And what did that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Talking about him losing weight.
Oh, yeah. At that point, when he was still doing those shows, like, the talk and shop ones. I'm like, dude, you're like in your 50s and you're just getting shit canned on the regular. Mm-hmm. I'm like... And then he kept on trying to show his body pictures in the mirror. I'm like, dude, we can see you getting fatter in them. Like, stop. Like, what the fuck is your problem? So it's just like the fact that, yeah, I don't know if Moxley had any influence on it, but he had to have cut back on the drinking. Like, there's just no way about it. You know, he looked terrible there for a while. And I think it was... You know, I wasn't surprised when he had a really good match at, I was about ready to call it Stand and Deliver, but Revolution. Like, it's the best that he's looked in years because he finally put down the sauce. You know? It was funny to... He missed that moonsault. Everyone made fun of him. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he came back and did it right. If the guy hadn't been carrying, like, an extra 20 pounds, he would have made that first one just fine. You know? So it's just like, dude, just... You're old. You can't do the shit that you did in your 20s. Like, why haven't you realized that? Like, you're 10 years older than me. Come on. Get your fucking act together. You have kids.
Yeah. And, I mean, and other things going on, too. But, yeah, that's got to be what it is. I'm sure it'll be in a book or something, but...
Oh.
But yeah. And speaking of Moxley and Danielson, like, Wheeler Yuta took a beating. And that was, like, one of the first times I was like, oh, I kind of see what people are seeing in Wheeler Yuta. So, I like the fight. Like, I like the whole thing, and like their gimmick's pretty rough. I mean, they're just beating on lesser wrestlers. I mean, Chucky T got out of it for the most part. They just beat the bejesus out of Wheeler Yuta for the most of the match, though.
They have done that for like three matches now.
Yeah, like what'd he do? And I know they're like trying to bring up like the young guys. That's the whole point.
Oh, right.
So
because we need yet another faction,
dude. That's one thing I needed to bring up. There's way too many people in that league. I mean, the best friends are what? Statlander, Orange, best friends.
Yep.
And then Wheeler, which maybe not anymore. That's five. You got Jericho, Moxley, and, you know, then another threesome and another fivesome over here. The Bucks, Adam Cole, and Red Dragon, Jurassic Express, and Christian. It's like, oh, boy, there's a lot of people. Like, Team Taz is three people. It's like, damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I guess we can maybe have a moment for poor Joey Janela. I was about in tears when I saw the headline of Janela decides not to re-sign with AEW. I'm like, uh-huh, yep, it was his choice. Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of those people were obviously signed during the pandemic and when they were starting that company. And as Tony Khan said, I can't keep everybody. And it's like, thank you for helping this get going. But other than that, you know.
Yeah, he was a hot name then. And it's just, he's a guy to me that just has a ceiling. And it's not even a high ceiling. You know,
I mean, I've seen him in person. He's not that good. And it's like, yeah. Okay. So, but he came from like the GCW stuff, right? Or Combat Zone, didn't he?
Yes.
Just a lot of garbage matches. So you know what you know. And when that doesn't go over well, what do you do?
Yeah, because yeah. That's it. I hadn't read any of his exit interviews, but I'm with anyone that said he was given a chance. Like, the guy had, what, two matches with Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
And one, at least one other big time match that is skipping my brain currently. And just couldn't get any traction. You know, he had chances. You know? Yeah,
I'm trying to think of the Kenny Omega ones. I know there was the one. He had a Moxley one, right?
Oh, yeah, I think it was Moxley.
Okay.
Because I think they wrestled. Yeah, I think they wrestled back in the day, too. Against each other on, you know, I don't know if it was necessarily GCW, but I feel like they had met each other on the indies in some type of deathmatch type of situation. So, yeah, because I was trying to think of other things that happened AEW-wise, but that was the only thing that popped in my brain.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the show, but I just thought it was predictable in a smart way, but it didn't make for good viewing for me. The cage match, the whole story made no sense. Thunder Rosa loses. Sure, there was interference. She loses. Oh, well, the next week she's in a contenders match and wins, and then she gets another shot in her hometown in a cage. And it's like, Britt Baker's talking about a conspiracy, who she's the bad guy, but she's not wrong. This should have never happened. And then the match starts, and they bleed immediately. And it's like, listen, I understand they're trying to do something new. They're trying to, like, push the envelope. First women's cage match. You know, it's necessary, I guess, their thoughts. But damn, Britt was bleeding, what, 3 minutes in, 2 minutes in? And then they start using tacks, they're using chairs, and it's like, I thought the whole purpose of a cage match was to make sure no one gets in. And this has just turned into a hardcore in quotes match just with a cage. That no one can get in or out unless the referee gets knocked out and Aubrey Edwards can get in with no problem.
I guess it was a little bit of a surprise to me that Rebel and Jamie Hayter weren't at ringside. Because it just felt like they were doing, it felt like they did too many riffs on their lights out match. I didn't think that the cage match was bad, but it was just like, I felt like every big move they set up, Excalibur's going, oh, this is a callback, and it's just like, everything doesn't need to be a callback, and actually I'd prefer if it felt different.
Yeah, and all this tells me, though, and I know it's like, Britt wins with interference. All this shows me, though, is Thunder Rosa can't beat her in a regular match.
Oh, and I would imagine that should be Britt Baker's next argument. Mm-hmm. But it also should be Britt Baker's next loss. You know what I mean? Like, if you want Thunder Rosa to be your champ, it seems a little too drawn out. The loss at the pay-per-view, I guess I understand getting someone their win in their hometown, but she would have been a fairly fresh champion had she just won at the pay-per-view and then came home to a hero's welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then defend it. And then defend it in the hometown, win in the hometown. Oh. Still get a win in the hometown, which is all, all they want.
Yeah.
And just go from there. Like, it just seemed contrived. And I know it was in her hometown, but say it wasn't in San Antonio. Even though they made a big deal of saying she's from Tijuana, Mexico, over and over again. And then they go, well, her hometown was San Antonio. Where the fuck is she from? Like, I live in Charlotte. I keep telling people I'm from Detroit. I live in Charlotte. I'm from Detroit. And they're doing this stuff. It's like, is she from Mexico or is she from San Antonio? Make up your mind.
Well, I can understand that situation. When you move countries, it's one thing moving states. It's another thing when you move countries. And if she's lived in San Antonio, like, for her wrestling career or whatever,
yeah.
Well, to me, there's a little bit of a distinction there. But, yeah,
Excalibur did try. Because he said she's fighting via San Antonio. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, to kind of agree with you, at least in some degree, like, they hadn't really mentioned it until, like, the show was coming around. Like, it really was not part of her entrance. Like, it was just Tijuana for her entrance until this week, essentially.
Yeah. But, yeah. But it was just, like, the over-the-top stuff. And, okay, cool. And then I also worry because Brits, I'm not going to get pushed to the back. I hope not. But AEW's shown they only have enough writing ability for a few women. Jade isn't really in a feud with anybody. She just has matches. Everything's centered around Britt and then Thunder Rosa. And yes, they had Layla Hirsch and Chris Statlander, but okay.
Oh, well, I was kind of thinking to myself driving today that I was just like, a name that I haven't brought up a lot where I'm like, are they any better off in AEW than they were in the WWE?
I already know who you're going to say.
Yeah.
I'll be curious.
Ruby Soho.
Yeah. Yeah, where is she?
I understand that you only have so many people for the top of the card, but I don't feel like there's anyone that I'm sitting there going, oh, I can't wait to watch Thunder Rosa wrestle her. Mm-hmm. Because it's her and Britt. Like, they've gotten better depth, but, like, you mentioned her already, Chris Statlander. she hasn't really done a whole lot since coming back. It seemed like Penelope Ford, they were trying to get her rolling, but I feel like she's been MIA for months now. Or no, she's popped up occasionally.
Rampage. She's been on Rampage, and I think Dark again. But like, remember, they had that big brawl with Anna Jay, Ty Conte, Bobby.
Oh, and, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Really the last time I remember.
Yeah, but I guess still to kind of double on her point, like, they haven't really written for her that much. Even Ty Conti is probably the next woman up in the depth chart.
Yeah.
But she's had two championship losses now, one to Britt and one to Jade. Like, how do you put her in a match with Thunder Rosa now?
Yeah.
And if she takes another loss, like, you can say that she's an improved wrestler all you want. If she doesn't have any momentum or any positive standing in the women's division, really, other than being better than some indie talent that I don't know is on YouTube Dark Premium Latte Roast or whatever the fuck it's called. Is it just Elevation and Dark Elevation?
I think it's just AWF or Dark now. I think Elevation's gone.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I may as well call it Dark Latte Roast. That's great. Yeah, like, we've kind of complained about that a lot. I'm only going to watch so much.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just tell, again, I guess to get back to the point, there aren't really any women that I'm, even for Britt, like, even if Britt had retained, like, who does she move on to?
Well, okay. I was going to say they could have gone a different way with the Mercedes Martinez stuff, but they didn't. So that could have been something.
Oh, well, yeah, and that's kind of been squashed already, hasn't it?
Yeah, she lost to Jamie Hayter Friday, and that's it. So, I mean, unless she feuds with Jamie Hayter now, like Britt Baker does.
Oh. So, yeah, I suppose you could do that.
Yeah, but even Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb, but she's in a feud with Sheeta.
Oh,
which I kind of forgot about that, but that's a Rampage feud. So,
yeah, I did actually kind of catch that, and I suppose Sheeta is someone that could be in that loop. But yeah, I mean, she has really taken a back seat since losing the championship. A back seat might even be kind, honestly.
She got hurt, actually. Either that or she moved back to Japan for something.
Okay.
So maybe something to that, but
I was not aware. If she did either, if it was injury and or moving to Japan, I was not aware.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Whenever someone goes back to their homeland for a while, I always think visa issues.
Oh.
But, it may not be either, so.
But yeah. Yeah,
so. I don't know. It's. They don't have a pay-per-view coming up for a while. I don't know what other special show they have coming up, but AEW is just like in one of those modes where it's like, all right, we've got to start building for something. So.
Yeah, I like the fact that they have a real reasonable amount of time in between pay-per-views to build stuff. The one downside to not, you know, doing monthly pay-per-views is that there isn't always urgency in the storylines at this point. You know, they just got done with the pay-per-view and you're kind of rebooting everything except for the women's division, which you just officially finally rebooted. So, yep.
Yeah, it's once they, you know, I don't know when the next one is. So May, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten into the rhythm of when their pay-per-views are, honestly. And that
Yeah.
I do not feel like looking up.
Because they usually have what? September is All In, right?
I would, yeah, that
All Out.
sounds right.
All Out, All In, and whatever, Revolution and something else. So there's only four.
Right.
And Revolution was just January?
No, it would have been February, right?
It seems like Heyman's been champion for longer than that.
Because it was only 2 weeks, like you said. The AEW pulled a WWE. Hey, you got kicked down the rankings. Hey, you're in a contenders match. Hey, look, conveniently, you're getting a rematch.
Oh, yeah, true.
Funny how no automatic rematch clauses. Okay, well, we've found a way around
Yeah, no, my bad.
that. It's what? It's not an automatic rematch. They had to wrestle a match to get back there. Okay, pal. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah, whatever. It's still doing the same thing, so. But yeah, so we'll see what happens next week.
Dokie. Time to sign out here, I suppose.
Yeah, sounds like a good enough time.
We are recording on St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully, this will make it up to the web. And in regards to me drinking, it is Guinness, kids. Guinness, always a good beer to have on St. Patrick's Day. It is part of my reason for stopping drinking trash pilsners. Guinness, I will always stand by it. Anything on your end, sir, for St. Pat's?
No, just water. I've been pretty dry lately, so. Like the,
Well,
no, I had a couple beers Saturday, but it wore me out. I honestly have not been drinking much lately, so. No real reason, just hasn't come up, I guess. So.
fair enough. Okie doke. Again, if this happens to make it onto the web, at DeFrango11 is the hashtag Belltime Beer suggestion this week. That is at Granny Mays. The show label is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.